Anyway, as I have promised you just now, I will share with you on this part. Understanding life is purpose and meaning. There is a video on this. This was a topic that I was asked to share when I was in SJBA. I think very long ago. Must be more than 10 over years ago. Understanding life is purpose and meaning. Have you really inquired into this or not? How many have inquired into this? Nobody? You're not interested in life? Is it right for me to ask you, if you don't understand life, then how can you live life? Fair enough, no? You don't understand life, you cannot live life. No? The other question is, if you don't know who are you, then who is living your life? You have been through life for so long, who is living your life? Almost most of the time before you become enlightened, the thought is living your life, isn't it? You never live it. You think you live. You pull along by karma. I like Reverend Suwano saying, the late Reverend Suwano, last time Penang, very old monk in the early years. He speak Hokkien Dhamma. He said, human being, he said, gong gong jia, gong gong tua, gong gong si. You heard of that before, no? Everything also gong. Yes. You go through life without understanding, deluded. That's why you are born, they feed you, you jia, gong gong jia. Then you grow up, gong gong tua. Then you die also gong. Understand? Deluded. So understanding life is very important. So life, I already explained, the Four Noble Truths. So this part, as a Buddhist, by now you should understand because of the Buddha's teaching. It's a secret of life, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths. And it explained to you the whole of life, both mundane and supramundane. So that one, no need to worry. After you understand that already, now the question is purpose and meaning? I ask you a question. What is your purpose of life? Before you understand, you think differently. You got different idea of life. After you understand now, what is your purpose of life? Okay. So don't want to be deluded. So you have to develop the Dhamma understanding, then develop the wisdom. After you develop the wisdom already, you should know how to live life. That is your purpose, understand? So that you know how to live life, understand? But if you don't understand life, you don't know how to live life, understand? But purpose can be very different, no? Everybody is different, no? When you are young, people ask you, what is your purpose of life? When you grow up, who are you to want to become? They don't know. They're not interested, no time. But later on, as people grow up, then they sometimes got people inquire, no? Why am I here? Who am I? What am I? Like what I did in 1971. Which means, if I don't know who am I, what am I, then how can I understand life and how can I live life? Not to talk about purpose, understand? So later on, as I grew up, then I realized everybody got different purpose. Or no? You realize not? Depending on your need, understand? Some of them will tell you, hey, my ambition is to become what I want, successful, world champion. Or so that is their purpose of life. Some, they say, I want to be successful in my academic. I want to do research. That is their purpose. Some, they want to do housewife work. Happily married, got a good husband, stay at home, they call what? Sao nai nai. Siu lai lai. So, there are different people with different ideology or thinking, and that is their purpose. So to me, purpose has not much meaning. Understand not? If you don't understand life, the purpose also may not be good. But as a Buddhist, you are blessed. You are very, very blessed. Because at least you know what life is. If you understand life, then you know the purpose is to learn the Dhamma, develop the wisdom, so that you know how to live life. And then only you talk about meaning. The meaning of life is not suffering, understand? Suffering need not be. And that is the meaning, understand? You understand? So, if that is the meaning, then beautiful, isn't it? That's why the Hasutta say, in true emptiness, when you understand the teaching, the wisdom, life or existence is wonderful. Ah, that is the meaning of life. Then you don't come and become miserable and bosong anymore. That's not. Every life you come, every moment, every instant, it's like you are very blessed, you are very fortunate, you're very happy. Song. And you know how to meditate, you go into this one, which is so beautiful, so tranquil, so still, compared to this one, hot, burning, agitated, full of suffering, misery. So that part, maybe you understand. Then now, as a human being in general, whether you are Buddhist or non-Buddhist, we go into specific. As a human being, how long do you live? Average? 76, okay? Very good. Lifespan about 76. So I break into three phases. First phase, so first 25, let's say, phase 1. Then phase 2, second 25. Then third. This one, by the time you hit this one, you are already 26 to 50. Then this one is 51 to 75. For simplicity, okay? So first phase, 25, what do you do? You go through childhood life, then if you got good karma, good parent, they bring you up. Then you go to school. Initially, it's kindergarten. Okay. Then you go to school. Then you go to college, university. So nowadays, people graduate earlier, 21 or 20. My time is 25. So first 25 is as a child going through your education, academic. So in this phase, you can do well, your future looks like taken care of, isn't it? If you have good karma, you still have good life here, understand? But most of you at this age, too young, don't know anything. You depend a lot on your parents or people who take care of you. So what happened is, during this phase, you are young, a lot of time, but no money. Then when you go to second phase, let's say you graduate, you come out to the career field, then what happens? You start working. Work. Work until beyond this one. Because you don't know how to retire. That's the topic we are at, isn't it? They need to work, they say. Need to work means you need money yourself. Have to work. Not need, have to work. Then the other one that don't know how to retire on, they work until 60, 70, 75, they still have to work. We have got money also, don't know how to retire, have to work. So what happens is during this phase, you strive very hard. You got no time. Initially no money. But after that, a lot of money. Let's say you successful lah, a lot of money. Then you also grown up already, understand not? Huh? Mature already. So what you do is, you sell your health, stress yourself through life at the expense of your family life. You never live life, understand not? Very busy, very hardworking. You accumulate a lot of money. But now the youngster different, no? They accumulate money, they know how to use, no? They travel a lot, no? Not like last time, my time, no? My time, huh, you have to wait till all the children grow up, huh? Then only you dare to travel overseas. Then I used to tell my wife, wait lah. You want to travel, huh? Travel at the time when you have enough money, when money is not an issue, not a problem. Then you don't have to, while traveling, try to jimat here, jimat there. Like that type of tour to me, not much meaning. You have to plan, budget. Every time you go overseas also, dare not eat. Complain, why the currency so big? Bosong. Then my wife luckily understand. Later on, she understand. So recently, she traveled with me. She very happy. Go to New Zealand also. Money not an issue. Spend the card, load, order, buy, spend. Kayamita also. I say, if you have the means, you don't have to worry about money. Then when you travel, you have, I should say, more understanding, more joy, and you will not be like trying to be thrifty and all those things. Because my children are already independent, graduate, they don't need my support. They actually did very well too. So what happened is, here got money, but don't have time to spend and use. So they continue to work. Then this phase, maybe also got money. No energy already. No energy already. Cannot enjoy life already. Then a lot of time. Well, most people retire at this phase. So this one, no time, no energy. Oh no, sorry. Work very hard, got energy, but full of stress. So if you look at this phase of life, this phase is not guaranteed, right? You can die before 50, you know. Very common nowadays, you know. So for me, when I reflect on it, even when young, before I learned the Dhamma, I tell myself, I already spent 1/3 of my life, you know. But I was lucky, because I have relatively good life. Then I excel in my academic career. I reached the pinnacle of it for myself in my own hometown and state. So this phase, I went through very well. Then when I am this phase, I ask myself, if I work for the next 50 years, even this phase also may not be guaranteed. No? You understand? Not necessarily you live so long. So I tell myself, I must retire within this period. That's why I retire somewhere here, 46 plus. Yeah, by then, I don't have much financial issue. Well, my kid both study local, didn't go overseas. Then they graduate already. My daughter graduate first, then my son didn't go overseas. Then for me, I don't really need so much money to survive. So contentment lead me to that decision. So I retire and I do what I want to do. Okay? Means I like to do investment. I continue my investment. Then I like to share Dhamma. I continue to learn the Dhamma until 2004, Yun Chan came and see me. So at the time I retire 46 plus. But when Yun Chan came and see me, it was 15 years later. So since 89 until now, I retired and do the thing I want to do. That's why I have the good time. I also travel. I have more time with my family, and more quality time with my children. Then later on, my daughter, although in Singapore, he decided to come back. MCO, lockdown. He said, "Daddy, I do enough already." Because she, when young, she very adventurous, no? She want to do all the sales. So I said, go lah. He goes scuba driving, he go mountain climbing, he go to Mount Everest, everything, no? But all the mountain and places he go, you better don't go after that. Because the mountain, almost everyone, no? After he came back, earthquake. No? Then the Sungai Lembing also, he went there, they all come back, flood. No? So a lot of these things depend on your understanding. So what is important is, at this phase, you can retire early, you get to live life, no? Understand not? So this part, when you understand life, you know the purpose of life, you get to live life, no? Because life is so meaningful, so wonderful, understand? And you can afford it. When you can afford and have the constant and condition, why not? Pamper yourself a bit, understand not? Save, stingy, you think you can bring along. You cannot bring along. You can do some wholesomeness. Do. Can help people. Help. Understand or not? Then, not only you develop a lot of wholesomeness and blessing, you become a blessing to all. No? Understand? To the world and living being. No? That's how you play a role. You contribute towards society. When you're young, society support you. Understand or not? Other people support you. So karma is you reap what you sow, understand not? Then because all these are not sure, if you choose to work, then you realize by the time you got all the first noble truth reality, critical disease, stroke, heart attack, you regret, no? Like not Bill Gates, that the other guy, what? Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs is the company is what? Apple. He billionaire, you know, but he kena cancer. Then before he passed away, he actually shared something. You know. He said, "Don't waste your time." He said, "Money alone is not life." He said. So all these are the understanding. But the more interesting one is this one is not guaranteed. You know. So you always say, no, wait till I retire. Then I will go around the world, enjoy life with my children, with my family member, with my parents. And sometimes you call them for retreat, they tell you, no, wait till I retire. But never come. So all this is what will happen to you if you don't know how to plan your life. So if you can afford to retire early or semi-retire to do the thing you like to do, that is life, understand? Otherwise, there is no life, understand? Not? Every phase you work, encounter worldly problem, stress over it, worry about it, got so much problem. Yeah? Then I heard a lot of people tell me, he said, "Where got no problem, man?" You agree or not? The Buddha says suffering need not be. You someone say you agree, understand? Because they don't have the Dhamma, understand? That's why full of problem, understand? Problem everywhere. And last time when I was still working, my final career was with a listed company, you know, with an MD. You know. This MD, not bad, quite wise. There was a, what they call, very senior project manager, come back and see him. Every time bring back problem to him. Then after he interact with me, he start to understand. He tell the project manager. He said, "Which side got no problem on?" He said, "Every side also got problem on, like a battlefield." Understand? Ta chong, because civil engineering. Then I even advise him. I said, "You hire him, pay him a salary to do the work in there." So management is what? got problem come and see you. Like that, you might as well take over his job. And that's all. No need him to do one. That's not. But if you need financial problem, authority, financial authority that is beyond you, and you need support, resources, you can come and see me. And that's not. Problem also come and see him. That's why I say, no wonder you like a, what they call, a workaholic. Understand? You know why he's a workaholic? He one day work, but he don't come office so early. He do the exercise, breakfast, everything. By the time he reach office, 10 o'clock. But he work until at night, 10, 12 o'clock. Got life or not? Yeah. But of course, sometimes he go for good dinner, where he can afford. Understand? So when you understand already, then you ask yourself, what is the meaning and purpose of life? So when you have the Dhamma understanding, you become different. You know how to plan your life, retire early and do the thing you like to do. Then the other part about life is, the whole journey is a matter of walking, understand? When you are born, maybe you cannot walk. Then 7 months, 8 months, you learn to stand, then you learn to walk. Then after that, where do you walk? You walk to school. Kindergarten first, then school, then university. Now maybe you got car, you got motorbike, but you also have to walk. Then after that, you walk to where? Career. Walk to office, isn't it? Walk to your workplace, isn't it? Yeah. Then after that, in between, as you age, disease, sickness, accident, injury happen, where do you walk? You walk to hospital, understand? Private hospital, government hospital, emergency, what? Then when you reach here, no accident also have to walk there. Your body decay already, your organ not so good already. So here, you walk in and out of hospital, understand? Then, how do you use your money? When you are here, people support you, okay? Yeah. When you are here, you develop a lot of money. You don't know how to go for a tour, enjoy life, live life with your family. Means you don't know how to use your money. While you can still fit, understand? When you can still walk, travel, and together have a good life. You wait till you stroke, paralysis, all those things. You cannot walk anymore. So, I got one friend, he is a Cantonese guy. He said, he even discussed with us, and after we explained, he laughed, and he created this joke, and it's a very real joke. He said, wow, like that, I must wake up, and yao loi, msik yong, sang ngao ngao, when you're healthy, can walk, can travel, you don't know how to use. Then you end up, when you lie down in the hospital, you also use your money, understand? You use a lot of money. So you have to lie down and use. Wow, that cost, that bill is very high, understand? So while you are healthy, you can live life. Develop this. Get to live life. Do what you want to do. Don't wait till things happen. Understand? So that is the message. I hope it will help you all. But don't go and quote me and say, hey, Brother Teo, say retire. Afterward, your wife come after you, your children come after you, don't come and see me. Understand? Make sure you have the capacity. But most of us has the capacity. Then there was one retreat, I remember. There was a lady, I think quite wealthy one. Was she very good? When I give this example of this, then I say, when you have the Dhamma, you can have the means and you can afford it. No harm pampering yourself a little bit. Wow, she put up the hand. Yeah lah, people tell me cannot like that, is it? Extravagant, all those things. I said, what's the problem? Then I told her one. I also travel overseas, and when I can afford, when I took my family to this Europe, UK, and all those things, on two occasions. Switzerland also same. We travel business class. whole family. But that is the life you can have, you can experience, understand? It's not craving, understand or not? If I can have the means, and if I can have the causes and conditions and afford it, why not? Just like good food. The Buddha never say, you enlightened already, you cannot crave for good food, no. Of course, the word craving is correct. But you think the Buddha's time, when the wealthy people, the king, they invite him for house dana, they give him simple food. He also have all the good delicacy with him, isn't it? He also eat, understand? But don't develop the wrong view to crave for food and don't overeat. So when there are causes and conditions, like I always say, help yourself. Pamper yourself a little bit. Then I used to joke with Kayamita, I said, whoever think that you already enlightened, then you cannot have good food, pass to me, I eat for you. Understand? Because that is your view, understand? Because you have this belief, hey, enlightened already, you know, cannot have craving, you know, cannot eat good food, you know. Then cannot be means outwardly, they dare not like, how you say that? Enjoy thing and all things. Because it may, they say this guy still very worldly. A lot of, so they try to keep eight precepts, they try to go vegetarian, then they try to impress society that they are religious. Understand? If that is your intent, then check. Understand? Because when you already have to understand the Dhamma, that wisdom will enable you to understand how to live. Understand? Then like the Buddha said, the second factor is what? Right and ritual. Understand? After you break Sakkaya Ditthi, you no longer hold on to tradition, rites and ritual, and follow all those things. Understand? Then your faith in the Triple Gem is more important. Then what you do, as long as you don't violate the precept, the moral rule, eating good food got violated or not? Did the Buddha say, don't eat good food? He said, we undertake the training rule to abstain from eating after meal, and you go eat precept. But as I already explained, the five precept is the core one. The sixth precept, don't eat after meal, is not the core one. Understand not? It's to prevent you while you are under training to develop the craving for food and become obese and all those things. Understand not? That is the intent. Then don't wear jewelry and all those things. Don't go to you call nightclub or what? All this entertainment center or what? Or we last night call it hiao hiao place. Actually, all this is to prevent you from making mistakes. Understand? Because when you go to these type of places, when you start to enjoy wearing all this, doing all this, then you will unnecessary fall, because you haven't undergo the training, you are still under training, asika. But once you beyond training, that's why the Buddha got the word asika, beyond training, then it doesn't matter, because they are not subject to all those rules anymore. Yeah. But the Sangha, different. When the Buddha set it up, he keep on expanding on his monk's precept and lady's precept. Why? As time pass by, more and more problems, more and more issues also, all the precepts were added. The monk ended up having 227. The lady, 300 something. Is it 300 something? 345. So much more than the male. So all this is how society evolved and become what it is. So hopefully, with all this sharing, you can reflect on life. Then diligently cultivate and make haste to understand all this so that you know the purpose and intent or meaning of life, so that you can get to live life, the wonderful, amazing, meaningful life. Okay? Okay, we have to continue. Otherwise, we won't cover much.
Page 145, Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 26, 2.1 Definitions. Mental formation, sankhara or activities of mind, everything that the mind can do. Impermanence, a universal characteristics, a characteristic prevalence in all phenomena. See clearly how the phenomenon comes and how it goes, how they arises and passes away, their birth and death, their rise and fall, etc. All conditioned arising phenomena are impermanent, and they do not have a permanent unchanging entity of their own. Hence, they cannot be owned or held onto as the I and the me. Our fundamental nature is the oneness or Buddha nature. 2.2, saying by the most venerable master Guangqing Lao He Sang, Guo qi xing bu ke de, the mind of the past cannot be grasped onto because it is already gone, not a reality. Wei lai xing bu ke de, the mind of the future also cannot be grasped onto because it has yet to come, also not a reality. Xian jai xing bu ke de, the mind of the moment is the only reality and the highest in life. But to transcend life, we have to transcend even the moment, which is still within the field of thought. Hence the reason why the mind of the present moment also cannot be grasped onto, because it is so transient and unstable. Split second, it is dead and gone. Note, moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? Are you truly living life? Or are you too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life? So much so, you totally miss out on life. That is, you never get to truly live life. To be with the moment in silent awareness within, to feel and to experience the reality of the moment, including all of its wonders and beauty of life, is to truly live life. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Question 1. What is the difference between contemplation and thinking? Brother Teo answered, to contemplate on the Dharma spoken by the Buddha is to reflect and inquire deep into the proclamation of the truth that he has given under his first turning of the Four Noble Truths. This contemplative wisdom, called Cittamaya Panya, is part of the second turnings of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. To develop this contemplation, one must have a calm and composed mind. With the spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati and Samadhi in its creative state to inquire and reflect deep into its second turning's hidden meaning. Reflection and contemplation is a form of inquiry, investigation with the creative mind in Sati. There is some form of slight creative thinking, but not the active thinking, to bring about a better understanding of what has been heard under the first turning, followed by the assimilation of it to stabilize one's understanding. Just like a talented musician or a talented person, when are they most creative? When they are in a very tranquil and conducive setting to reflect and contemplate on their talent. Their mind is usually very quiet, calm, and rather creative at that time, and that is the reason why they can have the talent to create such beautiful music. Reflect on what you have heard, taught to you, or read about. Listen with attentiveness and a calm mind. After that, reflect and contemplate with that calm mind, with very little or no thinking. Reflection is like inquiry and contemplation, and its purpose is to stabilize what one understands. Note, assimilating the Dharma is analogous to assimilating the food, i.e. like assimilating or absorbing the nutrients after eating the food. 29 Heart Sutra Class 1.1 Short Notes from Surangama Sutra. There were no... Okay, the second para. The Surangama Sutra is important because without it, the Maras will create havoc. According to Master Xuang Hua, this sutra will be the first sutra to disappear during the Dharma ending age. If this sutra is around, the Maras will find it very difficult to delude the cultivators. This sutra explains clearly the danger of the 50 deviant samadhi or wu shi yi mo that can trap the cultivators if they deludedly grasp onto any of them. The Surangama Sutra also explains how the living beings come into this world of existence via the four stages of manifestations originating from the source. These four stages of manifestations are clearly explained in the notes to be given out at the next Tuesday class. From the source comes the true mind in pure awareness before the knowing. Man, because of the basic ignorance caused since time without beginning, by the first thought which screened the true mind, became subjected to birth and death. Thus, both permanent and impermanent unite to transform that true mind into alaya vijnana, or store consciousness.
Alaya consciousness. Huh? Vijnana is the, I think, equivalent Sanskrit word, huh? But spelled differently. Huh? Or store house consciousness. Mayana call it storehouse consciousness, which is the root of samsara. You read on.
This alaya consciousness has three characteristics. A karmic one, which is basic ignorance resulting from self-evidencing. A changing or condition arising one, which turns fundamental wisdom into false perception, the root of the first seven consciousness, and its expression in appearances or forms. Because of basic ignorance, the spiritual bright and nirvanic absolute void was changed into dull and diluted emptiness. Hence, Manjushri said, thus in delusion there appeared one-sided emptiness. Within this dull emptiness, ignorance gradually crystallized and turned into illusionary form made of the four elements, resulting in an imaginary world created within the void. When false perceptions confronted form, a very small portion of this form was gradually grasped as being self-processed and being supported by wrong perception. Mind and form united and grasped at this dim little form as the ego, thereby creating the living being made up of the five aggregates of form and mind. Hence, Manjushri continued, steadying itself, the thinking process made the continence, and the illusionary knower became the living being. Then, via delusion and ignorance, the living being with the mundane or samsaric mind, five mental aggregates of form and mind, came to be via karmic conditioning, and this was then grasped at, hence the self-delusion or sakaya ditti. This was the origin of a living being. Ever since then, this living being grasps at the condition arising five aggregates of form and mind as the ego, as the I and the me. So how then can he now recognize its boundless true mind before the stirring? Then comes the external phenomena world or world of form or consciousness created by the mundane mind via its condition arising thoughts and consciousness. So our meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand all this retrospectively, to return the entire external phenomena world back to consciousness within the mundane mind, then silent and still the mundane mind to connect back to our true mind before returning to the source via the complete cessation of form and mind. 1.2 A condition arising phenomena world of consciousness. Everything you come to know and perceive is manifested through mind. Mind make are they, a condition arising phenomenal world of consciousness. Before mind arises, there was nothing. So everything comes about after mind has arisen via mental consciousness. So how real can mental consciousness be? Just a mental image, isn't it? Constantly arising and passing away, from moment to moment, hence its impermanence and empty or anatta nature. If you can't understand all this via wisdom, then you will grasp and cling onto all these mental manifestations very strongly, thinking that they are real. This is delusion, and it can be so powerful as to cause you a lot of suffering via your sorrow, lamentation, and fear, etc. When you train your mind to be silent, ever mindful and heedful, then you will be able to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom and understanding to enable you to free and liberate your mind so that you need not suffer anymore. Then you will be able to connect to the true mind and live from it. It is this true mind in pure awareness that can see things as they are to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. When wisdom stabilizes, the mundane mind will realize itself and ceases to be, leading to the realization of Nibbana. Nibbana is complete cessation of form and mind. Even the pure awareness also will cease. And it cannot be talked about because it is the unconditioned and beyond the form and mind. In Mahayana's sixth consciousness is the Theravada Sanya aggregate of mind, which is usually translated as mental perception or cognition.
Yeah.
It also includes the conception and discerning aspects of the mundane mind, but the key meaning is perception and cognition. The first five types of consciousness are seeing, hearing, smelling, tactile and tasting consciousness, and the sixth, seventh and eighth consciousness of the Mahayana are within the mental consciousness that arise upon contact of mind with its respective sense, organ and data. The mundane mind or false thinking mind is not your true mind because it is condition arising, i.e. not a permanent unchanging entity. It has no nature of its own, whereas Nirvana is totally different because it is the unconditioned. Once the mundane mind completely ceases, then the true mind will manifest, leading upstream to the realization of the oneness nature, the Buddha nature. Mundane mind is the deluded, heedless thinking mind, capable of false perception, cognition, memory, knowledge, and false thinking, karmic related. Sankara and Sanya are very active within it. It constantly clings and grabs onto sense data, whereas the true mind is the silent, heedful mind. Pure and clear, profound, bright mind. It can be aware of sense data, thoughts, and it can also see things as they are. The mind of the enlightened one is connected to their true mind with wisdom. It is the essence of mind, the unconditioned mind. 2.1 Sanya, perception, brings the external form into the mind via mental perception, and it is also called the sixth consciousness. This external form then becomes the mental form or sense data for mind to arise mental consciousness because mind is also an organ. Seventh consciousness, Sankara, is likened to the mental organ, and upon contact within mind via the mental activities of Sankara triggers off the eighth consciousness, Alaya, or storehouse consciousness, Vijnana. 2.2 The four foundations of mindfulness in brief. First foundation, Kaya Nupassana, starts with A. Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath to train the mind to be in sati to develop heedfulness. 2. B. Once heedful, cultivate mindfulness of the four postures of standing, sitting, walking and lying down. C. Then move on to cultivate sati sampajana, mindfulness with clear comprehension of all the connecting activities in between the four postures, i.e. daily mindfulness of all actions and movements. In the present moment, to develop the initial insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. Four types of clear comprehensions are clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domains of meditation, reality of the here and the now, and lastly, non-delusion. D. Then cultivate mindfulness of the four elements which constitute this physical form to see its anatta nature. E. Then contemplate the 32 parts that constitute this physical body to understand its condition arising nature of all the parts coming together to perform the functions of a human being and to realize its foulness. F. Finally, to contemplate 9 stages of cemetery decomposition of this physical form or body after it is devoid of consciousness. 2. Second foundation, Vidana Nupassana, mindfulness of the feeling that arises upon contact of mind. A. Be aware of feeling. If feeling has been conditioned into pleasant and unpleasant feelings, then one has to be aware that it has become sensual desire and ill will, which are the first two of the 5 hindrances of mind, and it is also the first two evil roots of mind. With this awareness, we must arise the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thoughts that have arisen, followed by the right effort to prevent them from arising in the future. B. So, during meditation, if we are not mindful of the uncomfortable tactile feeling that arises via lack of wisdom, then we will react to it and label it as painful or unpleasant feeling, which is the reason why your mind cannot be peaceful anymore, because pain is a mental hindrance. C. If we have this understanding, then we will be mindful of this feeling via our silent mind to investigate into it, to trace its original factors so as to understand how the arisen hindrance of mind comes to be. The mind will come to understand that if there is no wrong view or self-delusion, then the stirring of mind leading to the arising of the mental hindrance of sensual desire or ill will not happen. Then, while strengthening one's will to accept things as they are, one will be able to retrospectively reverse it, thereby understanding how the disappearance of the arisen hindrance comes to be via wisdom. Then, as this wisdom finally stabilizes, one will also come to understand how the non-arising of these hindrances in the future comes to be. This is the way to develop wisdom or insight via Vedana Nupassana, and not via just noting pain, 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 to do away with the pain via resisting suppression and control, etc. D. To go deeper into the investigation, we can also inquire as follows. Before this unpleasant feeling arises, there was none. Hence, the awareness of this feeling transforming into mental hindrances can bring about an understanding of how the unarisen hindrance comes to be. How come I have this reaction of mine to those mental perceptions that I come to perceive via my seeing or hearing or thinking, thereby conditioning the feeling or sensation into mental hindrances of sensual desire or ill will? It is because of one's conditioning to reject unpleasant feeling, which is a negative craving, hence a wrong view born of habitual tendency. If you can be at peace with what you perceive as acceptance of what is, then there is no more wrong view. Then with this right view or right understanding, one can just let things be and then silence one's mind to relax into it. When you do not react or grasp and cling onto the sensation with aversion or wrong view, then what happens? The hindrance is no more there, so the mind that accepts the reality of that sensation without reacting to it can be at peace with it. Hence, the mind can relax into it and the sensation will become normal and peaceful again. The lack of peace comes from your reaction of mind to try to do away with that unpleasant sensation that you have labeled via your wrong view. E. Meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand and then act with right view following the Noble Eightfold Path, which is incapable of negativity, to resolve all issues amicably instead of reacting to them via delusion and wrong view, thereby creating more negativities in the process. So, the main purpose and intent of meditation is to realize the wisdom, to be at peace with any situation within the moment and not to label it as pain, etc. We know more aversion, then only can we accept the reality of the moment and to understand that it is because we do not know how to relax into it, causing the qi flow to be constricted, thereby causing that unpleasant sensation. This is what you should do. You don't have to resist, suppress, and control it. Third foundation, citta nupassana. Like feeling, here we go deep into the content of consciousness to be aware of its evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and various states of consciousness, etc. When the content of consciousness has greed, one must be aware to deal with it as above, so as to develop the wisdom to free the mind. Fourth foundation, Dhamma Nupassana. Its first category of cultivation is A. Mindfulness of the five hindrances of mind, followed by B. Mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then C. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, the 18 sense realms to trace its origination factors and then retrospectively reverse them via wisdom. Then D. Mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, followed by the final cultivation of E. Mindfulness of the four noble truths to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. Once enlightened, there is no more delusion, so one will never be deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind anymore. One doesn't have to suffer anymore. One will know how to use the karmically conditioned form and mind to truly live the noble life wonderfully and meaningfully, following the Noble Eightfold Path, thereby becoming a blessing to all. This is the reason why the Heart Sutra said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Part 3, Meditation, 3.1. Understanding what mindfulness or sati is very important. Sati is before the knowing, just an awareness within the moment without thought, i.e. phenomenon and mind as one without thought. Like anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath, just feel the breathing and then mind and breath move as one in complete synchrony without thought, following the Buddha's instruction. Breathing in, one is aware, and breathing out, one is aware, etc. A calm and peaceful mind is only a byproduct of a well-trained mind. But the main purpose and intent of Buddha's meditation is not about becoming peaceful and calm only, but to develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations. Otherwise, one will be trapped with a mind that is attached to the calm and peaceful meditation as the good meditation. And when your meditation is not peaceful and calm, then you are afflicted and you label it as bad meditation. Hence, your sensual desire and ill will, which are hindrances of mind, are still there. Like the saying goes, any sense experience, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, is a prelude to suffering or dukkha. Even every very fantastic and so-called good meditative experiences, including the experiencing of jhana, seeing of nimitta, etc., are just condition arising states within meditation, and unless one can develop the wisdom out of them to free the mind, then they are of not much use. 3.2. Question 1. Brother Teo, during the meditation, when I hear the birds very loud and excited chirping, I follow your instruction. Just be aware and no more noting. Is it correct? Brother Teo answered, it is very dangerous to do that Because when you quote me and follow what I say via your own interpretation of it, without proper investigation to develop your own understanding, then you become gullible. The reason being, when you are fully aware and without thought, the listening is very different, because it is with silent mind in full creative awareness and attentiveness. Only then can you truly awaken while clearly witnessing the conditioned arising nature of the hearing consciousness within your meditation. This is not as a concept or a theory, but truly realizing it during the meditation. So that is why I always say, don't quote me, but just cultivate to investigate and find out for yourself whether what I have said to you is the truth or not. Don't just believe me and be gullible, okay? Nevertheless, it is a good question, because if you don't ask, I cannot point out your mistake and explain further. When you meditate, you just relax your body and mind and maintain the silent inner awareness to be watchful of what is going on within one's form and mind. How one reacts to sense experiences and get conditioned into the various mind states to become afflicted via one's heedlessness and wrong will, and how one functions as a human being, and how we become what we are, how our mind, thoughts, feelings, and emotions arise and pass away, following the 12 links or law of dependent origination. Awareness or sati is the silent mind before the knowing, and it is just awareness and without thought, i.e. mind and phenomena as one, in perfect harmony and synchrony to flow, to move and flow with life. But due to ignorance and delusion, the mind cannot become heedful or mindful, because it thinks a lot and becomes very heedless via its habitual tendencies. Through ignorance, the mind keeps on reacting to sense experiences to arise the likes and dislikes, fear, worry and anxieties and restlessness, doubt, etc. throughout the day. These are the five hindrances of mind that hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and calmness. Such continuous heedless thinking, the five mental hindrances, will become so habitual, and this is the reason why most human beings think a lot and they find it so difficult to meditate. The moment they close their eyes, there are so many thoughts. So the first thing to do in meditation is to develop the opposite five spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya via your daily devotional puja to counter the hindrances, thereby reversing all of the heedless thinking so as to become more peaceful and calm. Another skillful means is to do the mind sweeping method, to just feel and relax the body and mind without thinking, so as to decondition your habitual heedless thinking. It will also train your mind to be at the location that you want it to be. This is followed by anapanasati, or mindfulness of the in and out breath, so as to develop appamada, or heedfulness of mind. When the mind is trained and heedful, it listens to you. You want it to be silent, calm and peaceful, it will just do that. If you want it to be aware at the moment of feeling, perception, activities of mind and consciousness, it will just do that. Such a mind can meditate and understand what is going on. You want it to think, then only it thinks. Otherwise, it is silent, relaxed, and just aware within. The mind becomes like your obedient and faithful servant, and it is always your command to do what you instruct it to do, especially to live and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and live life to the fullest and meaningfully. If the user of thoughts is wise, then thoughts become beautiful, right, and wholesome thoughts. Otherwise, if the user of thoughts is evil and heedless, then thoughts become evil, i.e. wrong thoughts that constantly condition one's evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, leading to all the suffering and miseries. This is the reason why the Noble Eightfold Path is about right thoughts only. The cultivation of the five spiritual faculties is very important, because it can help you overcome the five hindrances of mind: sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt, thereby enabling you to understand easily the Buddha Dhamma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Radiating love and metta while reciting, may this body and mind of mine be well and happy always. Always helps complement the cultivation because it will bring about a calm and composed mind with a lot of inner well-being and happiness. And these positive mind states of good vibration will help improve and strengthen your immune system. When the mind has a lot of well-being, joy and metta, it can become calm and composed because it is without the heedless thinking and hindrances of mind. Hence, it can be helpful to develop the meditation, especially after a stressful day. If one can meditate to bring about inner peace, inner well-being and inner clarity of mind, to develop the wisdom, then one can be in a state of constant relaxed inner awareness with a lot of inner peace and joy always. 3.3. Meditation involves two important steps. The first step is to train the mind to be heedful or ever mindful while deconditioning one's habitual heedless thinking. Then the second step is to use that trained and heedful mind to meditate while cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, especially the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. It is also very important to understand what sati is. Also to understand that vipassana is not a knowledge that you can practice or learn via thought-based meditation, because it is an insight or wisdom that has to be awakened to via the direct seeing without thought. And wisdom is not a rigid knowledge that can be learned or practiced, because it is an understanding which is not rigid. This is the reason why the Buddha always say, "He only show us the way, but we must walk the path ourselves to awaken to it." We stands for the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And pasana is to insight into. So the meaning of vipassana is to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, thus awakening to this truth. Note, there was no short notes for Heart Sutra class 27 and 28 because Brother Theo's sharing was just based on a review of the Heart Sutra class 26 short notes. 32nd Heart Sutra class 2.1. 18 sense realms consists of three sets of sixes. First set of six refers to the six internal sense bases or organs, five physical and one mental. Second set of six refers to the six external sense bases or sense data, and the third set of six refers to their six respective sense door consciousness. Understanding these 18 fields or 18 sense realms can lead to the understanding of how you know the world and how you interact with the world, plus how you function as a human being, leading to the understanding of who you are and what you are. It is important for us to understand what sankhara is. Sankhara is the content of consciousness, or anything that your mind can do, including the aggregates of feeling and perception. It includes all of your mental movements and activities like mental states, intention, planning and scheming, formations, conditioned views and opinions, etc. The consciousness aggregate is pure receptacle. Consciousness and its content becomes the thought, which is the mental five aggregates of form and mind that the Buddha referred to under his final summary of the first noble truth of dukkha, in which the Buddha said, "In short, it is due to one's self-delusion, sakkaya ditti, that conditions one's craving and clinging to grasp onto these five aggregates of form and mind that he called dukkha. This is due to self-delusion. Living beings tend to attach, cling to their physical form, mental feeling, external forms that they come to perceive with every moment of consciousness, their mental thinking and mental consciousness, taking them to be real and calling them the I and the me and the mind, leading to all the suffering. Take for example, when one perceives their loved ones, good friends, colleagues, or pets, or various prized possessions like their property, money and wealth, etc., and grasps onto them, then what happens? The fear of separation or losing them can arise if we don't have the wisdom and deludedly perceive them as really belonging to us. Once you attach or grasp to them, you can be afflicted and you will become very fragile and vulnerable. It is due to delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto them, because you fail to see their impermanence, suffering and anatta or non-self nature. All sense experiences and phenomena, no matter how alluring, or are a prelude to suffering, because they are of the nature to arise and pass away or cease, so they will separate from you. Without wisdom developed via heedfulness, one will not be able to accept this reality. One must train one's mind to be heedful or ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path and the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, leading to the enlightenment via realization of the Four Noble Truths. 2.2. The Fourth Foundation of Mindfulness, Third Category of Cultivation. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases is related to the 18 sense realms and the 12 links or dependent origination and the fire sermon cultivation. In the fire sermon, the Buddha taught how one can achieve liberation from suffering through detachment from the five senses and mind consciousness. In this discourse, the Buddha described the sense bases and resultant mental consciousness of phenomena as burning with passion, aversion, delusion, and suffering. Seeing such, a noble disciple becomes weary, disenchanted with this passion, and thus liberated from the senses bases, thereby achieving arahantship. This is described in more detail below. Thus have I heard, on one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Gaya Sisa, accompanied by 1,000 bhikkhus. The Buddha proclaimed, "Bhikkhus, all things are burning. Sabha bhikkhavi aditam. What bhikkhus are these things burning? The eye, bhikkhus, is burning. Visual forms are burning. Visual forms, sense data received by the eyes are burning. Eye or seeing consciousness is burning. Eye contact is burning. Also, whatsoever feeling felt as pleasant or unpleasant, painful or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, painful that arises with eye contact, that too is burning. With what are they burning? Burning with the fire of lust, passion, lobha, with the fire of hate, dosa, and with the fire of delusion, moha. I say it is burning with birth, aging, and death, with sorrow, with lamentation, with pain, with grief, with despair. The ear, bhikkhu, is burning. Sounds are burning. Vibrations or sense data received by the ears are burning. Ear or hearing consciousness is burning. Eye contact is burning. Also, whatsoever feeling felt as pleasant or unpleasant, painful or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, painful, that arises with ear contact, that too is burning. With what are they burning? Burning with the fire of lust, passion, lobha, with the fire of hate, dosa, and with the fire of delusion, moha. I say it is burning with birth, aging, and death, with sorrow, with lamentation, with pain, with grief, with despair. The Buddha then repeated the same for all the other sense door consciousness as below. The nose, bhikkhus, is burning. Odors are burning. Smell or sense data received by the nose are burning. Nose or smell consciousness is burning. Nose contact is burning. The tongue, bhikkhus, is burning. Tastes are burning. Taste or sense data received by the body are burning. Tongue or taste consciousness is burning. Tongue or taste contact is burning. The body, bhikkhus, is burning. Tactile sensations are burning. Tactile feelings or sense data received by the body are burning. Body or tactile consciousness is burning. Tongue contact is burning. The mind is burning. Thoughts are burning. Mental objects received by the mind are burning. Mind or thought consciousness is burning. Mind contact is burning. Also, whatever is felt as pleasant or painful, or neither painful nor pleasant that arises with mind contact, that too is burning. With what are they burning? Burning with the fire of lust, passion, loba. With the fire of hate, dosa. And with the fire of delusion, moha. I say it is burning with birth, aging, and death, with sorrow, with lamentation, with pain, with grief, with despair. Bhikkhus, when a noble disciple who has heard this truth and clearly seeing things thus, he becomes weary of the eye, weary of visual forms, weary of eye or seeing consciousness, weary of eye contact, and weary of whatsoever is felt as pleasant or unpleasant, painful, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, painful, that arises with eye contact. He becomes weary of the ear, weary of sounds, and weary of ear or hearing consciousness. He becomes weary of the nose, weary of odors, and weary of nose or smell consciousness. He becomes weary of the tongue, weary of taste, and weary of tongue or taste consciousness. He becomes weary of the body, weary of tactile sensations and feelings, and weary of body or tactile consciousness. He becomes weary of the mind, weary of thoughts or mental forms, weary of mind or thought consciousness, weary of mind contact, and weary of whatsoever is felt as pleasant or unpleasant, painful, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, painful, that arises with mind contact. In this way, he becomes free of passion, and he becomes aware of feeling with insight, knowledge, and wisdom. He knows there is no more rebirth, that the holy life is his, that he has done all that should be done. These were the Blessed One's words. When he spoke to the bhikkhus thus, the whole congregation of over 1,000 bhikkhus rejoiced, approved of his words, and attained liberation from the asawa through clinging no more, and their hearts were completely free. 2.3 Notes from another commentary. Bhikkhus, form is burning, feeling is burning, perception is burning, volitional formations are burning, and consciousness is burning. Seeing thus, the instructed noble disciple experiences weary towards forms, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. Through dispassion, and this mind is liberated. The issuing text reveals that all sabha refers to, number one, the six internal sense bases, ayatana, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Number two, the six sense bases, visible forms, sounds, smells, tastes, touches, and mental objects. Three, consciousness, viana, contingent on these six sense bases. By burning, adita is meant the fire of passion, raga gina, the fire of aversion, dosa gina, the fire of delusion, moha gina, the manifestation of suffering, birth, aging, and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, and despair. Disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, he is fully released. With full release, there is the understanding, fully released. He discerns that birth is ended, the holy life fulfilled, the task done. There is nothing further for this world.
Okay, so there is a diagram. From the diagram, is easier to comprehend. So 18 sense rhyme or feel, there are three sets. First set of six is the internal sense basis, which we have already gone through, or all your organs. Organs of hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought process. Then second set of six are the external sense data. Then upon contact, third set of six, their respective consciousness arise. That's why as a conscious human being, we can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And that's how you know the world, through consciousness. That's why everything you come to know is mind-made consciousness, manifestation of the consciousness. Then down there, they describe the three types. Eye, external sense data is color, shape, and form. Then it gives rise to seeing consciousness. Tactile, which is sensation. Then tactile consciousness. Then for ear, it's vibration, hearing consciousness. Nose, smell. Then smell consciousness. Finally, tongue, taste, tasting consciousness. But the common denominator at the center, mental or mind object. So this mental or mind is your brain, that is an organ. So mental consciousness arises when you go and think upon contact. Okay, read on.
3.1. Meditation consists of two parts. Meditation consists of two parts. First part is to train the mind to be heedful. Then the second part is to make use of this trained mind in heedfulness to live life and cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path with special emphasis on the four foundations of mindfulness. This mind that is trained listens to you. And if you want it to be silent within, it will just be silent within. If you want it to be aware or think, then it will do just that. Even if you want it to be at the moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind or consciousness, then it will just do that. That is, it listens to you. Heedfulness can only arise when the mind is trained. To be heedful, one must know how to silence one's mind, to connect to one's true mind. The untrained mind is very heedless and it thinks a lot because of ignorance and delusion. Without this heedfulness developed, one is as if dead spiritually as per Dhammapada verse 21. Since heedfulness is the path to the deathless and the heedful do not die, so please do strive on with heedfulness. 33rd Heart Sutra Class 1.1 Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead spiritually. One only needs to be heedful, then one is destined for enlightenment. Therefore, one must make strong determination to be heedful. To know who you are and what you are is very important. Is this human being or the five aggregates of form and mind really what you are? How do you know the world? And how do you interact with the world? It is the senses that enable us to interact with the world via mind or mental consciousness. This is a very important understanding. Sakaya ditti, self-delusion, is a very powerful delusion because during every moment of sense door consciousness, like seeing, hearing and thinking, etc., the personality and egoic mind will arise if there is Sakaya ditti. Then one will try to own and possess things. This is how selfishness, which is an evil root, arises. Similarly, because of the ego, one can also become jealous, angry, emotional and fearful, and these are the other two evil roots of hatred and delusion. As they are the roots of all evil, this is the reason why when things do not go your way, and when you cannot get what you desire or want, you can become very unhappy, and you can also get angry and become emotional too. When confronted with the first noble truth's realities, especially health problems or separation problems, the thought will project onto the past and the future to condition your fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness, unhappiness, etc., leading to one's suffering. See that it is just a thought, not a reality at all, So how come it has such power to torment you and cause you so much suffering? This is wrong view conditioned by a delusion to grasp and cling onto the so-called problem, hence causing your fear, worry, and anxiety, etc. Do see its impermanent characteristics and anatta nature, i.e., it is just a thought which comes and goes, and it has no power over you if you are not deluded by it. 2.1. The Dhamma are only word concepts and skillful means. Ultimate Nirvana. When you have wisdom, you do not cling to the Dhamma. The Dhamma are only words, concepts, and skillful means pointing towards the truth, as likened to the finger pointing to the moon. The commentary said, the mind of the past cannot be obtained. The mind of the future cannot be obtained. And the mind of the present moment also cannot be obtained. This English translation by the commentary is not so clear as compared to the Mandarin version. In Mandarin, it is 过去是不可得, meaning the mind of the past is already gone, so it is no more a reality, i.e. you cannot hold on to it or have it anymore. Similarly, the future has yet to come, so it is also not a reality. The moment is the only reality in mind, and moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Are you mindful of the moment, truly living life? Or are you too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, so heedless, so much so you totally miss out on life? To be with the moment, to experience all of the wonders and beauty of life without any fear, worry, and anxiety is truly living life. The present moment may be the highest in life, but in order to transcend life, one must also transcend even the moment. This is because the moment passes by so fast, and it is also not a reality in that sense. That is, split second, it is dead and gone. This moment, then the next moment, and the next moment, only a stream of unending movements of thoughts rising and falling. See this clearly and free your mind. Only consciousness and thoughts arising and passing away, implying it is nothing substantial and not so real. This is the reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, and when mind arises, everything comes to be, and mind make are they. So, if one acts, speaks, and thinks with a heedless or unwholesome mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof. Hence the reason why the Surangama Sutra states that perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. The first seeing refers to mundane seeing, via the condition arising mundane mind, whereas the second seeing refers to the direct seeing via the true mind, which is beyond thought and beyond mind, the mundane mind. When cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, one must be diligent to do it continuously, with full determination in order to be successful, and one must not be complacent. A good analogy is of the primitive man making a fire by rubbing a stick against the rock to spark off the fire. One must not stop halfway before the spark can trigger off the fire. Hence, heedfulness must be stabilized and sustained until one is ever mindful.
Okay, so this last paragraph is very good. If you are not diligent, if you don't persevere, then it's like the ancient primitive man. The only way to make a fire is to get something hard. So they get a dry wood, something sharp. Then they rub against the stone or the rock. Then if they rub fast enough, long enough, then the spark will burn the dry leaf. Then they can get fire. So you need causes and conditions for it to reach the appropriate temperature in the sun before it can create that spark. Now you hear of a lot of people awakening to that spark when in blank, come out, gautim. So, like the primitive man, you got no patience, halfway you stop, the spark cannot come out. Oh, time ready.